same time, we can trust Him, and we can know that He still is God, and that He is good unto us. Today, we're going to turn to, we looked at the book of Judges when we were dealing with the subject of Gideon, and today I want us to turn to the next book of the Bible, which is the book of Ruth. And I want to think today about Ruth's hope, abounding in hope in 2021. Romans 15:13 tells us that we're to be abounding, and it is the Lord's will that we would grow. And it was Paul's prayer to God concerning the Romans that they would abound in hope. And we want to seek to continue to abound in hope in a very difficult day. There are difficult days that we're living in right now. I'll think about Ruth's hope. And also, as a title, if you will, Ruth's hope and David's great-grandmother, because sometimes we don't think about that Ruth is actually David's great-grandmother. And we'll think about that a little bit too. But Ruth chapter 1, and we'll read as our text, and we're going to be looking through this little book quite a bit here this morning. But look at verses 16 through 18 of chapter 1. So Ruth chapter 1, let's read verses 16 to 18. And Ruth said, and she's speaking to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She gave up trying to convince her to stay in Moab. So today we want to think upon this subject of Ruth's hope and seek to get some encouragement from this woman, this Gentile woman, who God greatly used. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further today. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity now to open your word and to think upon it. And just pray that you would, Lord, richly bless, that your Spirit might give to us discernment and understanding of what's being done and what's being said here. And may it be an encouragement to us as we think about Ruth and we think about how you, as our Savior, would lead and would direct, and how that her steps in many ways here are certainly exemplary of our following Christ. And we just pray that you bless us now, that what's done here would glorify your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Clearly, Ruth was a convert to the Lord God. She was one who was a Gentile, and we'll look at that here in a moment. But she was a Gentile, but one that converted to becoming one who trusted in the Lord. And she had trusted in the Lord, and the Lord had changed this woman's life, and she wanted to follow the Lord, no longer stay among the Gentiles. Well, Elimelech, now just backing up a little bit to the whole story of the book of Ruth, Elimelech and Naomi, with their sons Mahlon and Chilion, left Bethlehem, and the Bethlehem of Judah, left Bethlehem to sojourn down in Moab during a very severe drought and famine that was in the land. Elimelech then, as he's down in Moab, and Moab is a land of Gentiles, Elimelech, while he's down in Moab, while the family is down there, the two sons and his wife, he ends up dying. And Mahlon and Chilion then, as time goes on, marry two wives. They each marry a wife of the Moabites. And so they ended up marrying Gentile wives. And the two names that are given to us are Orpah and Ruth. And those are the two Moabite wives that Mahlon and Chilion had married. Both sons, though, after 10 years, approximately 10 years of marriage, the two sons, it seems that they had no children, but they both died. And we find that now Naomi is left with no sons and no husband, and she's basically left desolate there in the land of Moab. And at that time, she hears that, and of course she's got two daughters-in-law that are with her at this time and are living with her. But at this time, she hears that things back in Judah have gotten better, and that they're now back to harvesting, and it is the harvest season at this time. And so Naomi decided to leave Moab, and as things were better there. So she convinced Orpah, she tried to convince both Orpah and Ruth, but she convinced Orpah to go back to stay in Moab and go back to her family and go back to the Moabites and go back to the Moabite gods. Just go on back and live with them. And that's what she tried to convince both Orpah and Ruth to do. But Ruth refused to do that. Orpah did. She stayed, but not Ruth. Ruth had clearly been converted to trusting in the Lord. And we see that in a number of occasions here as it's stated in the book of Ruth. But she was determined that she would stay with Naomi. She'd go with Naomi and make her life among God's people. She desired to be among the people of God, worshiping God, pleasing God, and not going back to her family, who were Gentile Moabites that did not believe God and had their own gods. Well, just a little bit, let's just walk with me today, looking at the things that Ruth did in hope and the results of that, how that she acted in hope. And I want to think about Ruth, specifically about her here and her actions in hope. She's already, may we conclude here, and what we say, based upon what she has said in the verses that we read, verse 16 to 18, and then we'll see it even in as Boaz, another person that we're going to think about here in a few moments, comes into her life. He makes it rather clear that she's one that had converted and she was one who trusted in the Lord. And so let's see, she's one that knows the Lord, and she's walking here alongside Naomi. She's more of a new believer. Naomi is an older saint who knows the Lord and has known the Lord for a great number of years. And first of all, I want us to see the first thing, and we'll look at five different things here about that are examples to us here in the life of Ruth. And the first thing is that she, and we'll just go step by step, one at a time, but she encouraged Naomi to see what she had. Ruth encouraged Naomi to see what she had. Verses 16 through 18, the scripture does say there, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." So don't try to get me to leave. Don't try to command me to leave you or plead with me to leave you or to return from following after thee. "For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." Notice, she says, "thy people." You know, Naomi has got people, right? Naomi had family, even back, didn't have family right there. She lost all her family right there in Moab, but she still had people, right? She had people back, family back in Bethlehem. And she says, Ruth says, "thy people shall be my people." So she's, in a sense, she's reminding her of what she had. And she said, "and thy God, my God." She has a God, right? She has the Lord God. And he says, "where you die, I'll die. Where you be buried, will the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught between death and me." And so she's saying here, And she just says she's steadfast. Verse number 18, Naomi sees that she is steadfastly minded to go with her. And so she just gives up on trying to convince her otherwise. Naomi was focused, though, on what she didn't have. Now, Ruth is going to encouraging her in what she has, but Naomi is completely focused on what she didn't have. And we read it here in verse 20 and 21 of this chapter. If you look on, it says, and she said, Naomi said unto them, call me not, as she's gone back to Bethlehem, she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so she's kind of a downer at this time. She's in this down mode, and this mode in which that she thinks everything's lost. She thinks that she's got nothing. That's what she's basically saying. She doesn't have anything. I went out full, and the Lord's brought me home again empty. I've got nothing now. But notice Ruth is trying to encourage her that she does have something. First of all, you got family back home. You've got the people of God back there in Bethlehem. You've got the Lord God himself. And she says, hey, your God's going to be my God. I'm leaving these gods of the Moabites. The gods of the Moabites aren't mine. They're no longer, you know, Orpah can go back to them, and she's fine with that. But I'm not fine with that. I don't want to be there. I'm not going to be there any longer. I've got something wonderful to follow you for. Your people are like me. I'm like they are. Your God is my God. And so she's encouraging unto Ruth here. Ruth is encouraging to Naomi to focus on what she has rather than focus on what she doesn't have. And Ruth said, she just said, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Steadfastly minded she was to go with her. So she's an encouragement here to say, you know what? You've got a life that I want to follow. You've got a life that I want to be part of. You've got a life where you do have something that's worth following you for. And so she's an encouragement. Then she tries to be an encouragement. She encouraged Naomi to see what she had. And as God's people, we need to encourage. When we encourage one another, sometimes we get down, and we need to be encouraged to see what we have. We need to be encouraged not to just focus on what we don't have, but have our attention drawn a little bit more on what things that we do have, and that the Lord is so good to us, and His provision for us is so wonderful, and we've got a God to live for, and we got the people of God to live with, and we've got the family that the Lord's given us to live with. We got home in heaven for eternity to look forward to as God's people. And so, and the Lord, we have Him working out everything in our lives to His glory and to our good. And so Naomi is being encouraged by Ruth. Ruth encourages Naomi to see what she had. Secondly, Ruth humbly labored for God's provision. In chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Now what happens here is, now Ruth is there with Naomi, and Naomi is up in years, and Ruth is one that is young enough that she can go out and she can labor. And so she humbly here labors for the provision that God would give. And the way she has the ability to labor at this time that they knew about, and that Naomi instructs her a little bit, is going to give her some instruction concerning the formality of it and such, but going to get a procedure and such, but she's going to end up going out to the field, and she's going to be a gleaner. Okay, so what, under the law of Moses, there was the provision that was given where that if you as the harvesters, those who are harvesting the grain, would go out and they would take their sheaves of grain, whether barley or wheat, as it was in this case, those two seasons, it was that season of the year, they would leave gleanings behind. And those gleanings that were left behind, they were in fact under the law instructed not to take every little particle of grain, but to leave some behind. And as they left it behind, the poor would be provisioned in the sense that they could then come behind and they could do the gleanings and they could get enough for themselves and their family to make do at the time. And so she humbly labored. She went and she did that. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2, the scripture says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let us now go to the field and glean ears of corn." And the word corn here is a word that just means grain, because we know it's barley and wheat that she's harvesting. But it says here, glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. So she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. So the reapers are the ones that have taken the main portion of the harvest. And then she happened to, the word hap here is an interesting word, her hap was to, her fate or her circumstance was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech, and he also happened to be a very wealthy man. But she's humbly working and laboring here, with the provision from the providence of God that she would be given provision and that she would be able to help and be able to be a help to Ruth. And so she's, in a sense, she's serving Naomi, just humbly serving Naomi and helping Naomi out at this time. And of course, what's also happening is that she ends up being led by the providence of God unto the field of Boaz. And we know the story here, how that she's going to end up, this is going to turn into a love story, and she's going to end up Boaz falling in love with her and her with him, and they end up becoming husband and wife. And so this is all going to take place, but first of all, she's humbly laboring for God's provision. And as God's people, we need to be humble in our humble in our activities, humble even as we are seeking to be an encouragement. And she would be, even through her laboring and trying to make provision for Naomi, she'd be an encouragement to Naomi in the sense of just helping her out. Sometimes we just need to help one another out. Sometimes we just need the humble service that we try to. Which, Naomi's got a problem here. She is stressed to the gills and she is all out of sorts and she thinks things are a lot worse than they really are. And so she's in that position of thinking that way. And sometimes we just need somebody to help us. Somebody to just help us along, just to go along and humbly realize that we might not be able to fix anything, but we can humbly help, and with God's provision, he'll lead and he'll provide, he'll meet the needs that we each have. And then verses 10 to 12, the third thing I want to look at is, so first of all, in looking at Ruth and the way that she's working and living by hope and hoping in the Lord, is she saw what she's trying to encourage Naomi to see what she had. She's just humbly serving Naomi in a sense here. And then she's personally appreciating what the Lord has done for her. She's personally appreciating what the Lord has done for her. Read it in verses 10 to 12. So after, she sees the Lord providing for her and giving to her the needs that she needs, and also how the Lord is starting to work and accomplish some things that she's taking interest in here. In verse number 10 to 12, the scripture says, after she's now been given special provision by Boaz that his servants are going to watch after her and going to care for her during the time that she has to come out into the field. So I'm going to make sure that you're cared for and that you've got special provision. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" In other words, I'm a Gentile. I'm not even one of your people. I'm a Gentile. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore," he says. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." She's trusting under the wings of the Lord. And so Boaz says, "Hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that provision that the Lord has given to you and caring for you." And so she's so grateful and for what is being done here. And Boaz is saying, "Well, that's just you coming to trust in the Lord. And I'm just going to be an instrument in his hands to help you out at this time and to provide." Not to mention the fact that he obviously found her appealing. So Naomi, Ruth encourages Naomi to see what she had. She humbly labored for Naomi's help. And then she appreciated what the Lord had done for her. And she would go back to Naomi as well. As you read the story, she would go back to Naomi and she would just be thrilled. And the Lord has been so good. And talking about how thankful that she is for what the Lord was doing in her life. And so we need to show that kind of appreciation and be a testimony to others that need encouragement concerning how the Lord is working in our own life and how he's providing, how he's meeting our needs, and how he's been so good. And then verse 22 to 23 of the same chapter, the fourth thing I want us to look at is that Ruth patiently persevered. She patiently persevered or persisted. She continued on. She kept on going, even though it was a long season, it was a long period of time. Time went by. So she kept fast. Verse 22, it says there, "And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field.' So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." So she's just continuing on. She's just faithfully continuing. Now sometimes it is the appropriate thing for God's people to do is just continue on. Sometimes it's the appropriate thing for God's people to do when we're encouraging someone else is just not let things bother us, not let little things hamper us, not let little things bother us and cause that they see some kind of, but rather they see gratitude and they see this attitude of, okay, I can just persist, I can go on, I'll just be patient and endure it. I'll just be patient and go right on. And that's what she ends up doing. She's just patient. She's going on. And all this time, Naomi's there. And she is keeping fast by the maidens, doing kind of following. And we'll see that in a minute. She's going to end up following some of her advice, too. But she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. So two different harvest seasons. She ends up going through waiting. We don't always see that in this story, but there's this long period. There is this period of months that goes by before things start happening even more as it pertains to Boaz. And so some things are happening in her life, and she's just patiently enduring. Just sometimes it is just let, someone says let go and let God. Sometimes it's just let God do his work. Allow him to do it. He can do wonderful things. We don't have to be all thinking that we got to fix everything. The Lord God can, he can work as we're just faithfully waiting on him to work. And then chapter 3, the fifth thing that we see here, the final thing I think we see here in Ruth, as she is seeking to be a hope and show forth hope unto Naomi. In chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, let's read these verses. It says here, "And it shall be when he lieth down." Now, these are the words of Naomi. Naomi now is kind of becoming more and more encouraged, obviously. She's all this period of time, she's getting, wow, you know, that's Boaz. Hey, that's somebody in our family. And that means that he would be someone who would be an eligible bachelor for you to marry. And so this is something that could be, you know, that kinsman redeemer thing that is part of the law. That makes him, he's a kinsman, that's a near kinsman unto my sons, and therefore he would be able to redeem you in the sense of the kinsman redeemer. He'd be able to marry you. And so she's getting excited about all of this, and it seems like, you know, her life is becoming something more meaningful, and she's seeing God start to work. And so now she's giving him some counsel here, giving her some counsel. Naomi's starting to give Ruth some counsel and say, hey, well, here's the way it works. Here's what you got to do. And verse 4 and 5 says, "And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." She just says, hey, I'm gonna take your good counsel. She's humbly taking good counsel here. You know, part of being a hopeful person is just trusting, you know, the Lord could be giving me counsel. He could be directing me through somebody else. The Lord could be giving me direction through somebody else. And it may be somebody that is a person that's having problems themselves. But he could be directing me. He could be giving me counsel here. In verse number 18 of chapter 3, it says, "Then she said, sit still, my daughter." This is Naomi speaking to Ruth again. "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Humbly, she's given her counsel, and Ruth is taking that counsel. "Sit still, my daughter. Just wait. Just hold on." She's given counsel. How did it go from Naomi being someone who was so depressed, who thought she had nothing, to now she's giving counsel unto Ruth? Ruth is encouraging her, and now she's becoming a counselor of Ruth. Because God is good. God is good to those who hope in him. Psalm 147 and verse number 11 says basically that. Psalm 147 and verse 11, and I want to turn there, I do want to read it. Psalm 147 and verse 11, the scripture says there, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." The Lord's taking pleasure in us when we're hoping in his mercy. When we're hoping, when we have an attitude that is such that we know the Lord is good, and that he is going to help, and that he is going to see us through, and that he has the final say, and the chapters haven't all been written, and so forth. "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." How good is God? How good is he? Well, look at chapter 4 and the conclusion to all of what takes place with Ruth. In Ruth chapter 4, Verses 13 through 17, the scripture says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. So we're making a pretty long story rather short here. We're coming to this, getting to the highlights here. And so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Okay, so she ends up having a son. Now, Naomi said, hey, I'm fruitless. I'm not going to have anybody. I got nothing anymore. I'm not going to have any children. I'm not going to have anything. And yet, the Lord is working, and she's going to end up being a big part of this relationship here, in the sense that Ruth is going to have a child, and her daughter-in-law is going to have a child unto Boaz. And that child, it says, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. Hey, I was without anything. No, he didn't leave you without. He took care of you. He doesn't leave us without. His people, he does not leave us without. He's got something for us. And the scripture says that his name may be famous in Israel. He gave you a kinsman that the name of Elimelech, and that the name of Naomi would have some fame, and this child that's born here unto Ruth and Boaz ends up being, as we see, grandparent, if you will, the grandfather of David, of King David. The scripture says in verse 14, the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. The Lord just provides. He takes things away, but he puts things in place. He's just so good. He's so good to us. And it says here, he's giving you something that's better than seven sons. You only had two. He's giving you something better than seven sons. And he says, and she's born him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto us. Oh, she's going to spoil that little baby to death, I'm sure. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. For he is, and that word, the word Obed itself means beloved. And so, for he is the father of Jesse, the father, he is the father of Jesse, the father, that's just the commentator writing that he's the father of Jesse, the father of David. So this Obed ends up being the father the grandfather of David. And in verse 21 and 22, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And so we read here how God is working. He's doing his work, and he's wonderfully working. And we as his people, we just observe, and sometimes we sit by and we see, who was in charge of all of that? Who orchestrated all of these things that happened, that took place, you know, such that very unusual things would take place. But at the same time, there were no miracles that were performed or anything like that. But rather, what has taken place in itself is kind of a miracle, in that God is just providentially doing what he says he does all the time among his people. And that is, he is always working our good. He is always working on our behalf. He loves his people. He cares for us. And so how greatly the Lord did bless. But he's blessing Ruth. And Ruth has become someone who is a hopeful person, a person of hope, that ended up being a hopeful person to lift up Naomi and to cause her to think, you know what? It's not all over. The Lord is not through. And there's still time. And even though she is getting in her old age, she thought, you know, might as well just get up. But at the same time, the Lord just worked and gave her encouragement and blessed her and blessed Ruth as well in the whole, in his whole orchestration of what took place here on this occasion. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. May we be encouraged as well to be what Ruth was. To be an encourager, to show sometimes what things that we have versus sometimes when we're in discouragement, we only think on the things that we don't have. And to humbly labor for God's provision, to just labor, to help, to be a help in need. Appreciate what the Lord has done for us personally and show that appreciation. Patiently persevere, patiently continue on, and be patient ourselves, and then humbly take the good counsel that might be given to us, even to those who are going through difficulties. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity now to look into your word. We thank you for it. Thank you for the example that Ruth sets for us that is so much like our Savior, that shows forth an example of love, of compassion for others, and of seeking to, Lord, to just live our lives for those around us, to be an encouragement for those around us, and Lord, especially for those that we love, as Ruth had an undying love here for Naomi as her mother-in-law. And we just pray that you might bless us as your people, that you'd give to us the kind of love that we should have one for another. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you accomplished. We trust you. We know, Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.